My name is Mohammed Kazem, co-founder of Tamashi, and I'm from Dubai. I live in Dubai.
I'm Michelle Schifaletti, and you're listening to Thaqafat.
Mohammed Kazem has a healthcare background and a passion for culture, religion, history, and the socioeconomic factors that go along with it. He attained his Bachelor's of Science in Biomedical Engineering from Boston University, Diploma from Technology Management from Queen Mary University of London, and a Master's of Engineering in Clinical Engineering from Worcester Polytech Institute. He later worked as a Clinical Engineer Project Manager in UMass Memorial Hospital in Massachusetts before joining Mubadala Healthcare in 2008. During his time at Mubadala, Mohammed worked on many projects and led the establishment of Woodard Spine Center, where he later became the general manager. Mohammed co-founded Ellen Key Personal Assistance in 2010, and in 2012, while leaving Mubadala, co-founded Tamashi, a high-end Arabian Gulf footwear brand that is available across GCC cities and caters to a global clientele through its online platform. Mohammed had an essential role in driving Tamashi's social causes, which focus on preserving certain aspects of the Arabian Gulf identity, representing the region's culture, and spreading awareness about design-related elements as well as the social fabric of the Arabian Gulf. Mohammed also plays an important role in the management of Yokez, which focuses on distributing gourmet products. He is an Emirati citizen and a registered tour guide in the Emirates of Dubai. So hi, Mohammed. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
Okay, so let's start and tell people a little bit about who you are.
Sure. I'm from Dubai. I grew up in a very multicultural environment, being from Dubai. So came from a family who studied abroad for their education. So they knew how to speak English. So I grew up around multiple languages, English, Arabic, Hindi, because my parents would use it when they'd speak to the help at home, because they were educated in India and Pakistan. So I come from that very multicultural environment. I later went after high school to finish my education in the States. I have a clinical engineering background and a biomedical engineering background. And I worked for a while in that field in the States. And then I moved back to Abu Dhabi, worked in healthcare investments and healthcare project management. And then one fine day, I woke up and I decided I wanted to quit everything and pursue my passion. And that's where I am now.
Okay, so let's get to that then. So it's interesting because you hear about your background, it's biomedical engineering, and these are very kind of rigid fields. So then you said you kind of decided to follow your passion. So what was your passion? And how did you kind of take that step to leave your secure and safe job?
So I mentioned earlier about the multicultural background. I think that kind of gave birth to two things. One, there was a genuine curiosity to find links between things. And another is basically a gap in my own identity, because there was so much going on. So I didn't really know where I belong. And I think those two things led to this eagerness to understand more about who I am, and at the same time, find connections with who I am and the rest of what I'm exposed to. Mm-hmm. And it was just around the time of the Arab Spring. So there's a lot of negative media towards the region. We kept hearing about, you know, women oppression, ISIS, terrorism, all that kind of thing towards the region. And it resulted in a feeling where we started doubting ourselves. And that's at that point, I met up with my co-founder, Munira, to establish Tamashi. Tamashi at that stage was just a concept, that we wanted to do something that preserved the region's identity, but also represented the region's culture in a positive light to the world, and also left a positive impact in society as we were doing so. So we had that concept, but no idea what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And later we ventured, we found this footwear that we found absolutely fascinating that used to be worn in the region and kind of died out. And we wanted to study the reasons that happened and kind of revamp it and reintroduce it in a contemporary context. And that's how we started as a brand. And we continued to do that, those three goals as our brand values that kind of guided us into creating collections around rare concepts that have been forgotten in the peninsula. And that's where we focused on, shedding light on different concepts. And we also diversified our product range. And in the process, we also As we were doing research, we were taking pictures and sharing them on Instagram. So of course the followers got very curious and knowing where we were, and that opened doors to our trips. So we work in three work streams. We work in what we call Tamashi Seoul, and that involves research and education, workshops, talks, whatever we may do along the concept of culture because of all the research we've gathered. Our second work stream is products, which is our main bread and butter and our monetizing arm of our brand. And our third stream is our trips, which we take people on cultural tours of the peninsula.
So let's talk a little bit about the education arm of that, because I think that's super important. So share a little bit about kind of what are the educational topics that you guys are discussing within the realm of culture, and kind of who are the audience for that?
Mm-hmm. So we do this through a bunch of different ways. Of course, if we do it in both our arms, which is our research education arm, as well as through our products and through our trips. But the research and education arm, that's basically what guides our designs. So if we don't have that research base, we don't know how to design. We take our design inspiration from the research we do. So for example, we're going to be launching in Ramadan very soon a concept that revolves around pearls. So we had to actually research pearls. A lot of times we have to go to tribal areas, mingle with fishermen, mostly forgotten peoples that you don't really see, or there's not enough light shed on them. So we get the information firsthand. So we tend to then do consulting with the government entities. We also do talks at universities or even at corporate environments. We do workshops at our own space and in different events that happen along arts and culture in the GCC. So again, we've worked, that's our research and education. And of course, like I said, it drives our designs. Yeah. So through our products, we actually give out, look for a book, but we basically have booklets that we give out with the product, mm-hmm. which basically tell the story of the collection. So that's part of how we educate.
Yeah. It's like with a mission in mind, the products and all of the three branches kind of feed each other. I want to talk a little bit about the cultural tours, because I think this is something very interesting. Share a little bit about your tours and where Tamashi has them so far.
Sure. So the tours thing, like I said, it just came out very randomly. We had people following us, telling us, please take us with you. And since then, we've really organized it. So we did our first trip to Taif, Saudi Arabia. Taif is really close to Mecca, and they have a rose festival every year. The whole city blooms in pink roses, and it blooms for about a month. And then it's just that 1 month in the year. It takes about 25,000 roses to make 10 ml of Taif rose oil. So you're talking about, all the perfumers in the world, the top-end ones will go to get that first oil distilled from these roses. So it's a very interesting experience. But in the process, when we go to Taif, we also visit the arts and culture scene. We visit the tribal scene. We go to tribes that live within the mountains of Taif that typical tourists wouldn't get access to. But because we used to visit them for research, we take people to their homes. We do their cultural dances that includes shooting downwards as they jump in the air. It almost looks like a broomstick and they're flying. And many other things. And, we try to give the full culture. So it's the food, it's the cultural dances, it's the environment, the natural resources that they have, or products or industries like the rose, of course, mingling with the people, which I think is the coolest. So we've done about, I want to say we have about 7 or 8 destinations that we go to. And a few of them are, the majority of them are in Saudi because it's such a big landmass. And there's so many hidden gems there that still haven't been explored. But we also have Ru'us al-Jibal area, which is between Musandam and UAE. We also have the Northern Emirates tribes trip, which I find also fascinating. So again, it covers a bunch of cultural elements.
Do you think that there's a growing interest? I've spoken with a few people who are interested in kind of exploration, and I'm curious your perspective. Do you think there's a growing interest from Khalijis in kind of exploration of their own culture, of culture kind of in the Arabian Peninsula?
So we've done about 15 or 16 trips so far, and even two of our trips were done during this COVID crisis. In these 16 trips, almost 80% or 90% of the attendees were GCC citizens. So mainly Saudi and Emirati, but also others. That's just because our reach is is stronger in these areas. But we also had, and only 10% were foreign. And typically our group sizes range from 20 to 30 people. With Corona, we had limited them to about 15. So it was, you know, it was, again, yeah, I think there is a growing interest because of the kind of clientele that people want to explore their own culture, understand what exists here, what are the options of tourism from within. But also, I think there's a growing interest from the 80s generation and below, because that's where, you know, there's been an identity gap. So people want to understand they want to meet their tribes. They've been isolated to urban environments, and they want to explore the rural environments, the mindsets, the people, the things they have to offer.
Let's talk a little bit about that, about identity and culture. And kind of, you mentioned this, I guess we could call it the millennials and younger generation and identity. And you mentioned also before kind of your own exploration of identity. Can you share a little bit more about that, especially kind of living in the UAE, growing up in a multicultural environment?
Tough question, Michelle. being in the UAE and being exposed to many languages gives you a very strong foundation in communication. And I think part of what we did, Manira and I, and Manira, by the way, is similar to me. She's Saudi and she works with me, and we both co-founded Tamashi. Manira spent some time in the States and then moved to Saudi, but also lived in Dubai for the majority of her life. And now she's stuck in Saudi with the current regulations there. Yeah. So basically, you know, we both were able to communicate something that's perhaps seen as typical into a way that is understood by urban audiences or global audiences. We wanted to just make it seem very important. And we were able to show how unique these things that may be seen as typical with these tribes seem to the rest of the world. And a lot of times we work with local tour guides and we sit there and we'd be like, no, change this, change that. And they're like, why? Nobody wants to know this. I was like, trust me. We know that people want to know this. Why? Because of the identity concept. So I think growing up in a very diverse environment, one of the things we realized was the we as a region kind of got zoned into an import culture. And what I mean by that is, you know, we had to catch up with the rest of the world when oil was discovered. So what we ended up doing is we ended up importing everything, and we started discarding our old worn out stuff. And, you know, that includes architecture, goods we own, food we eat. So everything started becoming import. And in the process, of course, we imported the culture of importing. You know, we got stuck in that. And I think that also created a gap and a lack of confidence in the younger generations in knowing what they have as a region. So a lot of times we'll speak to people and they'll always try to, I hate using the word westernized, but they'll try to always show habits that are not theirs as them being part of that culture, although they're not. Or taking pride it always happens to me in certain parts of Saudi where, they'll put English words into the sentence to make it seem cool, not because they really don't know the word in Arabic, but because they think it sounds cooler. And again, I think all this is because of an import culture that came to be, intentionally, but it just came to be because of the dynamics of things. And I think studying identity and understanding the rich history, archaeology, the layers of culture, the beautiful arts and crafts we have, you know, and bringing it to light. I see the sparkle in students' eyes when we do talks to students or when they, you know, when they attend our shop or they do interviews with us. I see the sparkle in their eyes when they feel so enlightened that I'm actually a result of all of this. I'm a result of such deep history and culture. And it changes the identity concept. It changes the self-confidence level and a lot of other things. And again, I don't think this is intentional. I think it just happened because of the dynamics of things. The circumstances pushed for it.
This idea of identity and kind of the relationship now between culture and identity, particularly for the young generation. So I think what you're doing with Tamashi is really important work. Particularly for people living in the region. I want to switch gears and talk a little bit about kind of your journey as an entrepreneur, because we talked a lot about your work, but share with us the life in the day of being kind of an entrepreneur and kind of your journey to taking that leap and starting your business.
So first of all, not a good idea if you're a DTC citizen. You're definitely incentivized to take a good semi-government job where the salaries are much better. It's much more stable income. And you can create impact at a very early age stage in our region, because everyone working in a semi-government institute probably is making serious changes in the region, because we have mega projects, we have policy changes, etc. So you know, if they find that channel, I would recommend people to stay there. But for me, it was more a matter of I reached a level in my work career where I couldn't give more. My actions, I mean, I spent more time managing politics than I did working. So I reached a level where I couldn't give more. I had the choice to either look for another job or do something I'm passionate about. And at that time, I liked the second option a lot more. And I'm not complaining. It's been challenging, but it's been very rewarding. I mean, creating something from nothing and studying, you know, reversing people's ideologies and culture about the region has been very, very rewarding. So for us, you know, that leap wasn't easy. I think, you know, we got used to getting paid beautiful salaries at the end of the month, and making that leap was definitely a mindset change. But it was necessary to achieve our personal goals and what we were passionate about. And I'm not complaining at all. And I don't think I can ever go back to a job.
You know, once you've worked for yourself, it's hard to work for someone else, they say.
Yeah. I mean, if it's in the same field that I'm passionate about, maybe I'll consider it. But it's been really rewarding, because everything you do, you see the results of, right?
Yeah.
You make a decision now, you see the result now. And it's unbelievable.
Yeah. What drives you every day when you wake up and you have a new project, a new product launch? What kind of gives you that energy?
Honestly, the first part is personal knowledge. And I think both Munir and I are very passionate about that. And, you know, my grandfather, my great grandfather, they were both pearl merchants from both sides, mom and dad. And I know nothing about pearls. So doing a Ramadan line that involves pearls, first and foremost, it's our own education. Like, we want to teach ourselves, okay, my grandfather was one of the most famous pearl merchants in history, and I know nothing about it.
So to
learn ourselves is, I think, the first driving factor. And the second is the ability to create something using what we know in a contemporary context. So making it relevant to today, I think, drives us. And the last, and my, I think I want to say my favorite part is to see people's reaction when they actually experience culture in a refined manner. And that includes in all elements, in all three work streams, in our products, in our workshops, talks, in our trips. I love seeing the reaction of people when we take them, for example, to a cave where there's a ancient painting of a fertility goddess or goddess of fertility, you know, just to see people's reactions when they see that. I think I will enjoy also seeing the reaction of people seeing our products and once we release the pearl ones.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. So I'm sure others are as well. If you were to say your favorite place to explore, I'm sure you have many, as someone who's been all over, just a wow location, where would you say that is?
I'd say in the Arabian Peninsula. My favorite location, I've yet to visit Yemen, and I'm hoping when things ease up a little bit in terms of the political situation, I'd love to visit Yemen. But for now, my favorite place based on the areas I've visited is the south part of Saudi, which borders Yemen. I find it very unique in its offering of culture and of the diversity of tribes, and also in its diversity of arts and crafts, clothing, food. Because of the differences in altitude, you have such a plethora of different cultures in one area. So you're talking about, you know, this diversity that you can find within you know, 60 to 100 kilometer radius. That's unbelievable. Like, it's almost like different nations. We have a saying in Arabic usually is that, you know, your umbilical cord has been buried here. So it's like, you know, you're going to be attracted to this region.
Yeah. Yeah, the diversity in Saudi Arabia is so amazing. I mean, especially outside of the region, people think about Saudi as kind of just a barren land. And it's so interesting with all of the initiatives that have been going on. People are learning, even Saudis are learning about their own land, which is so vast, so diverse. So it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I love visiting it. I remember in 2018, I was invited to, you know, the ceremony of a new tribe leader. So there was a new tribe leader going to be put in his seating ceremony. I was invited to, and I had to dress up like them with a sarong and flower crowns and a dagger. So it was definitely an experience, and it's so different. Although I'm still, you know, visa free traveling within, you know, driving distance, and yeah. But the culture is totally different.
Yeah. If you kind of are looking forward at your company and your brand, obviously you guys are doing a lot of amazing stuff. What do you envision for your brand?
So I think one of the areas which we've been pretty bad at is marketing. We've always used our trips and experiences as a marketing tool. And I think more people got to know about us through the trips and experiences, because we take people to very unique places, and social media had a role in that as well. But I think one of the things we want to do is we really want to focus more on sales and marketing. We haven't done a good job. That's our first priority. And what we want to see our brand is to go more geographical expansion. So we want to have a bigger presence in North America, in Europe, Asia. I say bigger because we're already catering to that segment through our website and also through Level Shoes. In Dubai Mall, but we'd love to see, I'd love to see that shift. I'd love for it to be 50% expats or tourists in our trips rather than, you know, just 10%. And I think with all the new changes in the region, it's that will help.
I think it will, definitely. We have a lot of listeners from the US. So anyone who is planning to travel to the Arabian Peninsula, where can they find more information on your trips if they are coming from overseas?
So we usually post all the details in our Instagram account or on our website, which is at Tamashi, TAMASHEE, or www.tamashi.com. So most of the information is over there for our fixed trips. And we tend to do some unique trips that we just announce on Instagram. So best way is to follow us on Instagram.
Okay, great. I want to ask you before we kind of wrap up, you know, you mentioned something that was really interesting before, which again was about this kind of identity. So when you go on these tours, when you make your products, you have an essence of the culture. What is that essence? How would you define that essence for you and for your brand?
Honestly, warmth. I'd say warmth. One of the things I was pleasantly surprised about, because, you know, being from Dubai, I think we're as much as a global citizen as anyone else, because we grow up in an urban environment, and of course we're bombarded with media. So the first thing that comes to mind in the peninsula is that, you know, it's a dangerous place. It's war struck and people are not friendly. But honestly, I was pleasantly surprised that we're exactly the opposite. The peninsula is filled with warm people. They have a warm culture. They're colorful. Their food is amazing. You know, they're hospitable. They open their doors to you. So if anything, I think I would say warmth. We're a warm culture and we love to share. No matter what the differences we have, we put guests on a pedestal. And, you know, this is part of tribal code, even in the desert days. You know, guests have a special standing, even to the point that they wouldn't ask their allegiance or their position for 3 days. They would give them everything. Mm-hmm. That they own and more. And, you know, guests come first. So I think warmth for me is the way I would describe the peninsula, and full of color.
Yeah. I want to ask you kind of our last question, which is we ask everyone this question, and I'm very interested to hear your answer. And that is, what does culture mean to you?
You know, when you told me that this question is coming, I was like, I don't want to prepare for it.
It's always, you know, speak from whatever comes up.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, culture is so diverse. It's never stuck in time. I think one of the things we think today is that, hey, culture is one thing, right? It's stuck in time. That's how it should be. But culture changes, and as times change, things change. Mm-hmm. And as dynamics change, and it's affected by socio-political events, socio-economic events, it's, you know, it's affected by religion, it's affected by so many things. Natural disasters affect culture, you know, trade routes affect culture. So I think for me, culture is like a set of norms that keep changing based on where you are. And for me to say the peninsula's culture, then for me, the peninsula's culture is very, very colorful and has so much to offer than one can imagine. Especially being from, you know, a very dry an arid area, you always think peninsula, you think beige, you know, you think sand,
yeah,
you think tents, but it's quite the contrary. It's full of color. Everything they wore, everything they made, everything they cooked, everything they served, there was so much color in everything, and it just kind of disappeared. And because of the new culture that came to be post oil, the culture of taboo, the culture of blah blah blah. Yeah. So now we're seeing a reversal of that. So I think for me, culture is you know, that the set of norms that define us, the language that's a result of it, the communication that's a result of it, the food that's a result of it, the architecture, the visual design, all that falls under culture. And for us, we're colorful.
Hamid, thank you so much.
Thanks, Michelle. I appreciate being here, and I appreciate you having us.
Thank you. I hope everyone enjoyed hearing more about Tamashi and about Mohammed's experience. If you'd like to learn more, you can follow Mohammed at MAKatham on Instagram, and you can also follow their brand at Tamashi. Mohammed is always posting really interesting photos on his account of different areas of culture that he's been exploring, so highly recommend following. And as always, you can follow us at The Thaqafat. Until next time, when we continue to connect to the culture, Masarama.